Welcome to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
And I'm Father Kevin Dyer.
Today we're talking about lessons from a spy on how to not suck at everything you do. This time. Thanks, Father Kevin, for joining us today. We're talking about intentionality. Father Kevin is the new national chaplain for Focus. But Father, we want to just start and hear a little bit of your story, if you'd share it with the guys listening.
So, this is my, we're looking at 11th year being involved with Focus now. So I'm a Jesuit priest, entered back in 99, last millennium, and through Brian McAdam, got involved with Focus at New Staff Training in 2011, just stayed involved while I was working at high schools, Regis Jesuit High School, Jesuit High School in New Orleans, and through God's providence and my superior's will, ended up being assigned first as a part-time national chaplain 3 years ago and full-time national chaplain this year. So I just moved to Denver.
Just real quick, new staff training, that's where we train all of our new missionaries in Focus, for those of you that maybe aren't aware of that. And that was your first introduction to Focus.
That was my first introduction to Focus back in the days when it was at Champaign, Urbana.
Yep.
I can remember the days, you know, watching the young missionaries woo their future spouses.
That was me.
That was Thomas Wirtz.
Frozen yogurt.
Well played.
Now, Thomas, you were well before Champaign. You were like a decade before Champaign. So you got involved with Focus, Father, then a decade ago or so. What happened then?
I mean, it was just one of those things where, you know, I think in life you have certain experiences where you meet a group, a mission, a certain type of, you know, thing you can be involved in, and there's just a fit. You know, it just clicks. You know, it becomes natural. So I always found that working with Focus was a thing that clicked very naturally with me. Yeah, just it's continued for 11 years.
And you were teaching at Regis Jesuit here in Denver, Colorado, right?
I was.
You were a teacher?
I was a teacher and chaplain.
What was some of your favorite parts of that role as a teacher and chaplain at a Catholic high school?
First off, Regis is a co-divisional
school.
If
you were in the room right now, Father just completely readjusted his body language and like grabbed a hold of the mic. He's very excited for something.
Well, so Regis is a co-divisional school. So I got to teach
nobody knows what that
3 years at one division, which was all girls, and then 3.5 years at the other division, which was all boys. So I just had the experience of both sexes in a way. Yeah, the differences are, I find, hilarious and enriching.
You mean they're different?
They are different.
We should do
an episode on that.
This is
how
scandalous.
Boys and girls are different. Yeah.
I could sum up the difference in the following manner. I often receive this question from my classrooms of girls. I was not a priest at the time. Mr. Dyer, are we your favorite class ever? And then when I taught the boys, Father Dyer, like, come on, are we your worst class ever? That pretty much says it right there. But what I miss the most after being at Jesuit New Orleans for 7 years, I was noticing this the other day. I really miss the games, like the football games, you know, even like the eighth grade football scrimmage. They were just such great times hanging out with the players, with the families. Even though I love what I'm doing here, I'm going to miss that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love the culture that comes with high school, especially, you know, when high schools can really lean into that kind of high school football culture, just the spirit culture. It can really help create an environment for the students.
And boys are so goofy. Like, they're goofy in the best possible way. Last year, our senior class decided to, you know, increased spirit, they were going to get a gong. So the first day of school, the assembly, and here's the boys with this gong. And anytime we scored, they hit the gong. Anytime anybody did anything good, they hit the gong. It became the theme of the year and turned the year into like one of the best ones that we've had in ages.
We need a gong at the office.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ways you can use a gong, I think.
Even better than
a cowbell.
In
the professional world.
I'm not sure I know all this, but...
Well, there's time to explore.
They're there.
Father, we're talking about intentionality today as men, and again, the theme is one key to not suck at everything you do. We're so glad you're with us, and this topic came about... Thomas heard you tell a story recently, and so I want to invite you to share that with our guys listening and kind of jump into the nitty-gritty of that.
Yeah, so what Thomas is talking about here is from a homily that I gave the other day here at the office. It all goes back to a book I'm listening to on Audible right now. When I took the job with Focus, I knew I'd be in the car a lot. So I got the old Audible account to listen to a bunch of books. And the one I'm at right now is called Witness by a guy named Whitaker Chambers. Now, I think people today might not be familiar with that name because this was something that was more mid-20th century. But Chambers was a communist, just out-and-out communist, who more or less infiltrated the U.S. government and was involved in the Soviet underground within the U.S. government. But he begets, you know, he's disillusioned with communism after Stalin takes over and sees it not just as something that's bad because Stalin's bad, but that communism in and of itself is bad. And so he's a
communist spy, but inside the U.S. government.
Inside the U.S. government.
Okay, and then has this, like, conversion, if you will, against communism.
Against communism, okay. And just leaves. So he ends up as an editor at Time magazine, but gets drawn into the activity of the U.S. government because he begins to tell them, here is what's going on. And so he begins telling them all about the spies that are in there and what they're doing. And the person that he informs against is a man named Alger Hiss. So that's another, you know, famous name, middle 20th century. Now, what struck me listening to his story was about the time he was a communist, because he's describing a world in which everybody he's involved with knows exactly what their goal is. Hmm. Our goal is worldwide revolution and infiltrating the U.S. government, overthrowing it, moving it to our purposes. Hmm. And so all the decisions they're making in their life are oriented toward this goal. They're just so single-minded, so single-hearted. So, you know, when I read the gospel the other day about, you know, leaving behind mother, brother, you know, sister, you know, the person who's given up everything to follow the Lord will inherit the hundredfold. I thought, if we just had the same laser focus on the gospel, which is a good thing. Yeah. Like, you know, here's these guys making all kinds of difficult decisions, all kinds of sacrifices for something that was inherently bad, mm-hmm. that was destructive. If we were that intentional about something that was good,
yep.
what a different world it would be.
And they were willing to do anything for their cause, right? I mean, they were willing...
Crazy stuff.
To die, to kill, to steal, to do any... They were willing to go anywhere and do anything for their cause.
They would literally not get married. They would literally not have children. They mm-hmm. would literally not say yes to certain friendships, because these things would get in the way of this mission that they were pursuing. Yeah. You know, everything in their life was, they knew what their top priority was. Mm.
I think that is so fascinating, especially for the guys who are listening to this show. Like, the reality is, what projects do we have in our lives that we are willing to devote years to make serious sacrifices for? You know, I'm thinking through, okay, maybe it's getting the job that we want, getting into the career field that we want. Maybe it's marrying the girl that we've got our eye on, or it's just getting the best parties and the most fun we can. But hearing you talk about this intentionality, I'm thinking through in my life, what are the things that what are my like 5-year, 10-year projects that I'm working on? And then the intentionality to actually make steps and follow through on that, I think is really impressive.
An intervention for you, Brock. We were yeah. hoping that.
No, Brock, we were talking about this just the other day. And as we were looking forward in life and where we think the Lord is calling us and our own desires and how those match up, what decisions are we making today that will put us on that path?
Yep.
And then how do we prioritize the actions we do in life each and every day, down to the hour, down to the minute, that will help us achieve not necessarily what we want, but what the Lord is calling us to do, right? This higher cause. So these communists, as Father's talking about, they weren't just shooting from the hip. They weren't just winging it. They had planned and prioritized for years and mm-hmm. years and how they were going to do this. And they were willing to do whatever it takes to succeed. Now, they didn't because it was a bad plan. It was a failed plan from the get-go, but they were willing to do it. Now, as Father said, if we can take that same zeal, if you will, and apply it to the gospel, then we can change the world. We can be the men that God created us to be.
Yeah, zeal, conviction. Conviction was the word that was coming to my mind. Like, these guys must have been so convicted about their communist beliefs that you said they're willing to give up marriage, they're willing to give up all these things in life because they were so convicted about the master plan of undermining this one particular area in their global plans. And I think that's fascinating.
And they knew that if they went in convicted about what they were doing and with full knowledge of what their goal was, a small group of men could have a disproportionate impact. So that, you know, if they're going into an organization and most people are just going with the flow of life, just saying, you know, I'm glad to come in, I'm a patriot, but, you know, I'm not really going to worry about threats to what I'm doing. I'm not going to get into that uncomfortable conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to examine this too closely. They're like, all right, these guys are ours.
Yep.
You know, if people are milquetoast about being a U.S. citizen, about being a member of the government, like, okay, we got these guys handled.
Yeah, now go look up milquetoast.
Yeah, I also have no idea what milquetoast is.
I don't know what that is.
Dip your toast in milk.
And then you'll find out.
And then you're soggy.
Now, Father, you could have said the exact same thing and been describing American Catholic parishes just then.
Exactly.
So if a small group of men are committed to the gospel and are willing to do whatever it takes inside their parishes, inside their homes, inside their workplaces, imagine the impact. Because what you were just talking about was inside the heart of the U.S. government. What if we, as normal men, right, who are committed to the gospel and are willing to do what it takes, what if we entered our parishes and our families and our workplaces with that same energy?
I think sometimes people will go into, you know, parish life or just work life, whatever it is, and maybe they'll have goodwill. They'll say, I want to get this accomplished. But they don't think of it in terms of a plan. They don't think of it in terms of a strategy. So what happens is, okay, I had this bad experience or this bad conversation or this didn't work out. Those communists knew, hey, we're going to have setbacks from time to time. There's going to be things that don't go our way, but we're in this for the long haul. We can handle that thing that doesn't go correctly because our outlook is different. Mm. And I think sometimes that's a barrier that people face when they think of engaging their workplace or their friends or their parish. It's too short term.
So it's huge on the motivation factor, right? It's also, I think, just going back to the intentionality piece, which is a theme that I've been thinking on for months now. Part of it because of that book I've shared with you guys, Intentional Father by John Tyson, right? Really cool book. But just think in our day-to-day life too, we can suck really bad if we just wing normal life. Not even just this big picture, I'm going to transform my parish, I'm going to change the culture, but just like I'm a dad or I'm a husband or I'm just a roommate. If I just wing life every now and then, I look back 5 years later and I don't know what happened because I was not intentional about anything. Either I got really, really busy and just kept filling my time with things. And I look back and say, why did I fill my time with those things? I wasn't intentional choosing them because I didn't have the priorities. I didn't set it right. I just did stuff that I felt was good in the time, but I wasn't intentional with it. So I wasn't as good as I could have been. Or I'm lazy and just kind of sit around and therefore I'm not intentional that way either. So I'm filling my time with not doing anything. So therefore also not intentional. But when we're intentional, we decide yes to this, no to this, and we make prudent decisions based off our priorities, based off our mission. And we actually can look back, hopefully 5 years later and say, I ran after something and I did a good job. I look back and I don't have regrets because I was trying at least to be intentional with how I raised my son, how I loved my wife, how I stepped into my parish, how I stepped into my job, right? I mean, it's just, and if we're not intentional, we're probably going to suck at everything.
Yeah. So lately, and I don't know about you guys, but when people are like, hey, Steve, how's it going? How's life? You know what my response is? Busy. Oh, it's just busy.
I got a lot
going on. It's just
busy.
And
we all do, probably.
We do. And there's that saying, you've probably heard it before. It says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Because when we're busy, we become unintentional. When we are busy, we shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
When we're busy, we get distracted from priorities.
We forget our priorities,
We forget our purpose. And I'm ashamed to say, I've just been busy. And so I've allowed the devil to enter into my life and not make me bad, but make me busy. And so this is a great reminder for me to say, slow down, have the ability to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things in life. And not the wrong things because they're bad, but the wrong things because they're not leading me on that path of priority that we were talking about.
Well, the late Bishop Morlino, he said, every yes is 1,000 no's to that point, right? You say yes to all these things, you're busy, you're saying no to the maybe what should have been the right thing.
In my life as a Jesuit, you know, we're given a mission, and maybe two missions, something like that. But, you know, we receive from our superior, this is what you're supposed to do. And so what it sets up in my life, when you talk about being intentional, is that, I say no to a lot of things. Or, for instance, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, working with focus during the summer and really liked that work. I knew, though, that my mission was a high school teacher. So I did not say yes to many focus things during the school year because, you know, I just know I have to say yes to this no to that.
Right.
And, you know, I think, you know, for a guy who is looking at his life, he has to say, you know, I'm a husband. I'm a father. That means I have to say no to a number of things because I have a primary mission in life. And what once we saying no is very difficult because we can get accused of being lazy or, you know, why aren't you doing everything you can do? But it's not being lazy. It is giving your all to the thing that's highest priority. You know, number one priority, the gospel, and then what Jesus gives us from there.
But yesterday, Rocco, my son, he's like, hey, Dad, can you come kick the soccer ball around? I'm like, there's probably 1,000 things I could have done in the house that would have been good things. But I was like, absolutely. I need to do one thing real quick. I had to cut onions up for my wife. But then I just played soccer with him for 30 minutes. Maybe it was 20 minutes. But just like, and in my mind, that's being intentional, making an intentional decision to do something with my son. And sometimes it's really hard to do that because, A, when we do the busy thing, sometimes we feel more sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm worth something. Look how busy I am.
Look
I'm
at my
so accomplishments. Impressive.
Yeah.
But actually saying no to these things so I can actually be a father or be a husband. I need to go on more dates. Sorry, I know, honey. But like being intentional with that. And I'm sure as a priest, you get asked to do 1,000 things a day. Mm-hmm. And saying no is probably very hard. But man, we got to learn how to do that.
Right.
I also, so in my mind, you know, we constantly on this show, we talk about virtue being a mean, right? There's always an excess and a defect. And we've been talking a lot for the last couple minutes about busyness and guys who are yes men, maybe saying too much. I also, Father, would love to pick your brain on guys who maybe aren't saying yes to enough. A couple of weeks ago, we had the chance to sit down with Father Mike Schmitz, and he kind of gave us this exhortation on, you know, how men cannot be couch potatoes. If you haven't listened to that episode, I recommend you go back and listen to it right after this one. But I've gotten some questions, some emails, some people reached out to me and was like, the stuff you said was awesome, but what about for the guy who's like really stuck in the rut, who's really stuck in Achadia, and there's actually not a lot of intentionality around anything. It's not like he's crazy busy and he's missing on some things he should be focused on. He's actually just
he's not moving.
Really going from, you know, one day to the next, not moving. There's nothing motivating him. You're a Jesuit, you're a spiritual director. Like, what do you tell guys who are just kind of stuck in that nothingness? And I think, honestly, guys, like post-COVID, there's a lot of guys who are going to be listening to this who are going to raise their hand and say, yeah, I actually resonate with that a little bit. So how would you respond to that, Father?
One of the little mental experiments that St. Ignatius would have men go through when they're making a decision of some sort is to imagine their life at its end point. Looking back on their deathbed, what would you have wanted to do? We could alter that and say, you know, imagine yourself at the end of your life looking back. What would you want to say your accomplishment was? What would you want to say that you have accomplished with your life? What did your life stand for? And at this point in your life right now, can you say that it has stood for something that you are proud of? And if not, start asking the question, all right, well, what is it then?
I think if you go with intentionality, there's, and I don't think this is a Thomistic structure of virtue or anything, but I think you can trace it to, as a Christian. Ultimately, it's our call to love, right? That's the greatest of all virtue. And I think with as a husband, and Dr. Bob Schutz of the John Paul II Center for Healing has this really beautiful reflection. His wife passed away not too long ago, and he just has this visual of when of just handing his wife to her bridegroom, her ultimate bridegroom, our Lord Jesus, right? The deepest longings of her heart are found in him. And he's just like, you know, I hope that you, I'm grateful you allowed me an opportunity to learn how to love with her. And I hope that I did my best. But just that intentionality of, do I step in and do I love? And that's, I think, the ultimate call of intentionality is, am I present? Am I here? Am I focused on this person in front of me? Whether it's a child, a friend, a neighbor, a stranger, and am I intentionally seeking to love them? And I think what you just said with Ignatius, right? Because ultimately we're judged on how we loved. And that's, I think, just something to throw in there.
So I want to go practical, Father, and I want you to jump in here. You just mentioned that if we are not satisfied with what we have been doing or what our life accomplishments kind of have been, right? You said it much better than I am. But you said we have to sit down and we have to ask, okay, what is it? What do I need to do? And I think the first thing I would say is that we as men, we have to find ourselves in prayer. We have to find ourselves in a quiet place. Again, as men, we're often busy, we're often active. And if we really want to contemplate what the Lord wants of us, we have to sit in silence, preferably in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and ask God, God, what do you want from me? And I think we're afraid to ask that question because we already know what we want for us, and we don't want that to be different than what God wants for us. And so I encourage all the men listening to find yourself in silence in front of our Lord and have the guts to say, God, what do you want? Now, Father, here's where I want your help personally, and I'm asking on behalf of all guys, how do we get that response? How do we hear the Lord? How do we discern that? How do we know it's his voice and not another voice or not our own voice?
You know, yesterday's gospel was about the, going out. The guy is going out, inviting people to work on his farm, you know, early in the day, midday, late in the day. They all get the same reward. And the detail that stuck out to me is that when he goes out to hire the people for his labors, they're sitting around doing nothing. And it's the landowner who goes to them. So it kind of like we're the ones who are sitting around lounging, doing nothing. And it's something of a consolation to know that we're not in this on our own, that God's actually coming out to us and saying, hey, I want to put you to work. So first, it's just that confidence. Like the Lord is calling.
He is active. Yeah.
And he's asking me to do something today.
He's asking me to do something today. And what I normally find in listening to God's voice, it can be challenging. It can make us uncomfortable, shake us out of our comfort zone. But there's also always that sense that, like, I'm on your side helping you to do this. It's not just a guilt trip. It's not just, me cooking something up. Like, when we go to God, when we have that time of silence, when we give him some room, like, he will act.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll act and help us along the way. We just have to be willing to step outside of our comfort zone. And I would just say, start with something small. Like, let the Lord invite you to something small but consistent. And just prove that, yeah, I can listen to the Lord, I can hear the Lord, and I can accomplish what he asked me to do.
Sure. So it could be anything small and consistent. I like that. It could be anything from, Lord, how do you want me to enter into prayer with you? Lord, how do you want me to give of my resources to you? How, what organization can I give to or to support? It could be, what relationships in my life do you want me to invest more in? Which ones should I pull back from? There's all sorts of questions we can ask. Maybe we don't have to go after the big grandiose question right away. Start small, start consistent. I like that. So we ask God, what do you want from me? Second, we listen and we respond. So we have to take action, right? We have to respond to that invitation. And then I think the third thing that I want to make a note of here is, because we have high school boys listening, we have college men listening, we have dads, we have grandfathers, we have men of all ages listening and stages of life. I think we need to adapt as needed and continue to ask the Lord, what do you want from me now? Okay, now what do you want from me, right? Because a single man in college might get a different answer than a newly married man, right? Mm. And so I think we need to continue to ask these questions. Lord, how do I prioritize? How do I be intentional with the role that I'm currently in?
Yes, and I'm going to jump on that. What conversations do we want to have with our children as they age, or our grandchildren? What kind of vacations do we want? What kind of memories do we want to actually build? Not that you can control and craft every single thing, but you can try to be intentional. And one thing, Father, you guys are kind of hitting on it, made me think of it with prayer. How do we live Sunday? That might be just a very practical thing. It's a holy day. It's the Lord's day. Are we intentional with how we spend our time on that day? In particular, one practical note or challenge we can have is, do we live the rest of the week preparing so that we can enter into Sunday, which means we're not doing anything unless it's leisurely stuff that gives us life and allows us to be drawn closer to family and neighbor? So that might be one practical thing. Just how do we live the Lord's Day intentionally?
I want to pile on that, Thomas. I just got an invitation from the missionaries at the Auraria campus here in Denver to be on a fantasy football team. And the commissioner of the league said, here's the rules, though. You are not allowed to look at it on Sunday. This is a set it on Saturday night, and we'll talk about it on Monday, but Sunday's for the Lord, so we're going to set it, and you are not allowed to look. And if you do look, it's like honor system, but you're losing points. And I thought that was awesome. So shout out to the boys over at the Auraria campus for the Fantasy Football League. The last thing I want to ask you, Father, is going back to the story of the spy and the communist spies, we kind of hinted at the fact that they had this conviction that what they were doing was kind of worth the intentionality. And this is probably a topic for an entire other podcast, but maybe just give us the tip of the iceberg on how can we start to foster that type of conviction for being a saint, and maybe that type of conviction for fulfilling the Great Commission? Like, what about the bigger mission that God has for the entire church? How can we grow in our conviction to play a part in that?
And not be milquetoast.
we want no milquetoast around here. I think we are living in an age in which it's becoming clear what a culture without the gospel looks like. And so for myself, all I've had to do is just look around. You know, just look around at the way the world operates without the gospel, the way, you know, communities and marriages operate without the gospel. And then to look at the examples of people in my life who are living it, I mean, that in and of itself motivates me. I just think it's becoming so incredibly clear the difference between living a Christ-centered existence and not.
Love that.
So, like, read the lives of saints.
Absolutely.
Look at heroes.
What a great topic, intentionality, and the lessons we can learn from a spy. Father Kevin Dyer, thank you so much for joining us today. I think we could go on and on and on. Yeah. This is such a fun topic, and you're a great guest. Hope you can join us on another episode in the future.
Can you commit to that?
I can commit.
Right. Awesome.
I'm now subscribed to the podcast.
Nice.
Which is, by the way,
The Man Catholic Podcast.
Hit subscribe button.
Hit subscribe, share it with your friends, and if you have a topic idea, you can email us at mancatholicpodcast@gmail.com. That's it for today, guys. God bless.